Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brame.
Crossover, step back! That's
your brother! Right here on 960theref.com.
What's up, everyone? Sam Franco, Chris Brame back with another edition of the Crossover Podcast right here on 960theref.com. Also on iTunes. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, and review. Five-star reviews, much appreciated, as that helps us get this out there to the masses. The more five-star and positive reviews you get, the higher up your podcast goes in how iTunes distributes them. So we would very much appreciate you all to do that. And now that we've got that out of the way, we can actually get to sports, which is what you come to listen to this podcast about.
Yeah, and there's plenty to talk about, too.
Yeah, no question about it. We're going to hit on a just god-awful article about Roquan Smith in the Chicago Tribune and a very half-assed apology that came after said article was published. We're also going to talk about the NBA playoffs as the Eastern and Western Conference Finals are set. And Brame, you were absolutely right about something that we'll get to in just a little bit. And as I watched the Cleveland-Toronto series, especially that game one, I knew that you would be lording this over me when we get to it. So we will be doing that. And then we'll wrap up talking a little Georgia baseball as I think Athens and the state of Georgia has UGA baseball fever right now as that team is red hot.
Yeah, and looking to be on track to not just make it back to the postseason for the first time in a long time, but actually probably host some postseason games here in Athens.
Which would be very nice.
Man, it's been a decade since that's happened.
That is absolutely the case. So hopefully Georgia does end up hosting. But we'll get to that in a little bit. First and foremost, we go to the Chicago Tribune and a columnist for that paper by the name of Steve Rosenbloom, who decided that because Roquan Smith, who did absolutely nothing wrong other than getting his car broken into, which is not his fault, was a terrible draft pick for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, Roquan was the victim of a crime. And yes, he had a lot of valuable stuff in his car. And according to Roquan, he says it was 2:30 in the morning. He accidentally unlocked it. He didn't intentionally leave his car unlocked. He didn't.
Right.
He wasn't aware that he did. But nevertheless, that doesn't matter. Like if you could leave your car unlocked with a stack of $100 bills in it. Now that's not a great idea.
No.
But if somebody takes those $100 bills, you're still the victim of a crime.
Yes, and okay? That's the thing. Like you could leave. Like I think I said this on Twitter. I could leave the crown jewel sitting on the front seat of my car. That still doesn't mean it's a good idea for someone to break into my car and take them.
No. I mean, it's not the smartest thing to leave crown jewels in the front seat of your car, but that still doesn't give somebody like license to just go and help themselves to it.
Oh, that's in plain sight. I'm just going to take it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Roquan is the victim of a crime. So, yes, I mean, I guess we had a bit of victim blaming there from the Chicago Tribune. But, you know, the guy reached his desired effect in this day and age. It's about clicks and mentions and
which is very sad,
and
by
getting,
the way.
You know, and ats, and he got plenty of them.
Yeah, but I mean, this article was just so poorly researched, poorly written. I mean, if you look at the way that it is composed, here are some adjectives that I used when describing this article and how poor that it was. I mean, lazy, sloppy, not researched, irresponsible, assumption-heavy, condescending. And a lot of those adjectives are the same adjectives that this guy uses to describe Roquan Smith, a guy that he doesn't even know. I mean, he may have met Roquan Smith one time, and it was when the linebacker had his introductory press conference in Chicago. And he might not have even been there for that. I don't know. That would be me assuming that. But I'm just saying, how can you make all of these assumptions about a guy that you don't know? And here's another one of the things. I said condescending. Here's one of the things that bothered me. It was the language in the article. He says, listen, Rook, you can't lose your playbook. You just can't. The playbook is the team's Bible. You don't put the Bible at risk in a car overnight.
Yeah, he didn't lose it. It was stolen.
First of all, what gives you the right to talk to to talk to Roquan like that, basically? Listen, Rook.
Yeah.
What? Like, who are you to say that?
Well, listen, it probably took him 10 minutes to fart that column out, and look at the clicks he's gotten and the mentions.
No, I get it, but I mean, it's just irresponsible and just not fair to Roquan to classify him like this. One of the things in the article, too, is this quote. At this point, you could ask how a student athlete that the NCAA is so proud of not paying is able to afford a 2018 Beamer. So he's insinuating that there was some sort of ineligible or impermissible benefit. He actually wrote another article today, which is Thursday when we're recording this. He calls it a mea culpa for Roquan Smith. But the only thing he apologizes for is insinuating that he received an improper benefit. And he goes on to say, I was sloppy and unreliable in reference to Smith and his new car. If I'd researched the issue properly, I would have learned that Smith had entered into an endorsement partnership deal with Athens BMW.
Yeah.
And it's like,
What he meant to say, if I had researched that at all, instead of properly.
That's what I'm saying,
The properly suggests that he actually did some research in there instead of at all. But yeah, so I believe it was basically the scores of Georgia fans who showed up in his Twitter feed saying,
like, hey, idiot.
Yeah, A, he got an endorsement with BMW, and B, these first-round draft picks, even if they haven't signed their contract and gotten their money yet, their agents are fronting them money.
They're fronting the money, or like with LeBron James, for example. Remember when he was driving an H2 while he was still in high school?
Yes.
How do you think he paid for that?
An agent was fronting him money.
Absolutely.
Or something.
Or at least his mom, I think, is what they said. His mom bought it for him at the time. Well, where do you think she got that money?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just stupid.
Now, when you're still in college or in high school, that actually is still viewed as an impermissible benefit. But once Roquan's out and he's been drafted, he has an agent. He got taken, what, eighth?
Yeah,
and
he doesn't have any. He was going to get rid of his eligibility anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, once he got drafted, he's the eighth pick of the draft. You know what money's coming to him, and he has an agent that, you know, it, but that's not how that happened.
But that's not even how this was. No. This was not, he has an endorsement deal.
Right.
So
which came after he was already done at Georgia, not while he was enrolled here. So
the whole thing was laughable. And the other thing that bothered me about this is the assumptions that this guy is making about Roquan Smith. Like, first of all, you don't know Roquan Smith. And for those of us that do, he's one of the most humble, level-headed, smart, and best Georgia football players we've seen in years. I mean, when you combine all of those things, he's not somebody that just would do. I mean, like I said, he's going to learn from this, but he's not a player that you can lump into just this horrible assumption pool that this guy has had. And this is one of the sentences. The Bears were able to wipe the information from it being the iPad. And that's another thing. It's like, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it is. You shouldn't lose or have the playbook stolen or whatever. You should probably take better care of it. But they can, with a snap of their finger, wipe all of the information from it. This is 2018, so it's really not as big of a deal as, say, finding plays in a trash can and being on Bobby Petrino's staff and being like, ooh, what's this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot different than that. But that sentence I was alluding to, the Bears were able to wipe the information from it. They were not, however, able to wipe the impression that their top pick was sloppy and unreliable. To think Smith was considered the safe, in quotes, pick.
Yeah. Well,
it's like he has a vendetta against Roquan Smith.
He was the safe pick. The guy's going to be an absolute stud.
He should have been picked more than I thought. The Colts should have taken him. I thought the Colts should have taken him at six.
I mean, to me, he was like the number one guy in the draft. I mean, I get why you wouldn't put him, take him number one. I understand how the league works, but you know, I've said before the draft, the two guys for me that if I was staking my very impressive reputation on being, no doubt about it, star NFL players, Roquan Smith and Derwin James were the two that I'd back there, And the Bears got a heck of a player, but whatever. The relationship with Roquan and this dude, probably off to a rocky start.
Not just Roquan and that dude, but the Bears. I mean, the Bears and that dude. I'm sure that, you know, when he came out with that, you know, mea culpa, as he called it, where he only apologized for the one thing when he probably should have apologized for this whole crap article.
I think he's basically apologizing to the University of Georgia for insinuating that, you know, Georgia was given, you know, handed out free BMWs to its players while they're here.
But here's the thing. Do you think he did that apology on his own, or do you think he was pushed by, like, an editor or somebody like
Probably.
That?
Probably. I mean, there's maybe they felt there was some liability there if, you know, Georgia could have come back on him and said, you know.
Right.
You know.
But you also got to look at it from the Bears' perspective. I mean, the Tribune is tasked with covering the Bears. The Bears see something like this attacking their first-round pick, and it's like.
I'm sure they're used to it.
Well,
I've never read the guy's other columns, but I'm sure it's not the first time he's gone all in on the Bears, especially with their recent history.
Well, he also makes a large assumption here with this sentence. Is this the earliest the Bears have been embarrassed over their choice in the first round? How do you know they're – why would they be embarrassed? He got – it's stolen from him. He didn't do anything other than have his car broken into.
I know. Yeah, I'm sure the Bears probably realize that if that guy doesn't, that he was the – yeah. But Roquan was the victim of a crime. He did nothing wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, this whole thing – and look, obviously we here in Athens, we're going to leap to the defense of our guy, and that's fine. But for all of this, I mean, this is just one of those things where if you're a young aspiring journalist – and you still want to have some semblance of credibility and not leap into the 2018 mode of writing clickbait and things like that, use this article as a great example of how not to write an article.
Yep, but the, you know what's unfortunate, though, is I think that, you know, the editors, that they appreciate stuff like that.
Which is very sad.
Yeah, because that's what it is. I mean, that's what the Tribune and that guy's looking at. He's looking for some attention and looking for clicks and mentions, and he got plenty of them. And by the way, I mean, if you go through the mentions there, there were Bears fans and they're defending his take on him. Like, yeah, that was irresponsible, and it makes me question Roquan now.
Like, you got to be kidding me. If you're questioning Roquan Smith, why don't you trade him to the Falcons for a third round pick?
Yeah, we'd take him.
Take that.
He'd look good next to Deion Jones.
No doubt. All right, we will transition here on this edition of the Crossover Podcast. Sam Franco, Chris Brame along with you. And we'll jump to the NBA playoffs where, Brame, go ahead. Let me have it.
I know. It's like, I wonder where I got the idea that LeBron might beat the Raptors and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. That was a bold prediction that I made there.
I knew the series was over with game one. That was just such a brutal way for the Raptors to lose. They had a huge lead in that game. I think like a 20-point lead in that game. LeBron and his team claw back in. And then the Raptors end up, I think, losing in overtime.
Yeah, Cleveland never led until overtime.
And Valanciunas had like three tip-ins at the buzzer, like near or around the buzzer, that he missed all three of them. I mean, the dude is like 7 feet tall. How do you miss at the rim like that?
Yeah,
like,
there was another great moment in the series, too, when LeBron just, you know, he hit some turnaround fadeaway from the baseline, and Valanciunas was on the bench, and he just, like, threw his arms up and put them behind his head. It's just like
what are you supposed to do?
What are you going to do? And there is. There's nothing you can do, and it's a fascinating matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals because, I mean, Brad Stevens, to me, is I'd take him – if you're making a team right now, you need a head coach. I think I'd pick Brad Stevens over any other coach in the NBA right now. And I'd be interested to see what he comes up with to try and solve LeBron James, because I just don't think there are any answers. There's just no way to defend him the way he's playing right now at this stage in his career.
No, and I've doubted the Celtics too. I don't think they can beat Cleveland without Kyrie Irving and without Gordon Hayward. But, I mean, I keep saying that about them. I thought the 76ers were going to handle them pretty easily. They did not. And it's just been so crazy to watch that young team with guys like, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, and Al Horford having the playoffs of his life. He never played this well in the playoffs as a member of the Hawks.
No, and he was bad last year against the Cavs in that series. And it was like playoff Al that we're familiar with.
He's found something. I don't know what it is, but he's playing damn good basketball right now. And that team has such a great team mentality. And it's a joke that Brad Stevens didn't get one vote from his peers for NBA Coach of the Year. It's like, are you kidding me? The guy didn't have Gordon Hayward for the whole year, lost Kyrie Irving for big chunks of the season, and he's not – I think he's run – Dwayne Casey won, which is fine. I mean, he took the Toronto Raptors to the number one seed. That's all well and good. But he was also expected to be in that position, or at least close to that position. Once the Celtics lost their two guys, nobody thought that was
– No, and even after when Hayward got hurt in the first game of the season, didn't the Celtics win like – 16 straight games
they
or
did.
Something?
Yeah, Kyrie Irving was playing very well, but now they don't have him. And,
yeah, and here they are in the Eastern Conference Finals. And the thing is about with Stevens, he's been doing this, I mean, as we know, when he was at Butler and got them to back-to-back national championship games. But then there was, you know, his first year in Boston, the Celtics were supposed to be a team that was tanking. And they ended up winning like 40-something games and made the playoffs. So, you know, he's been doing this his entire career, both in college and the NBA. But, you know, the way he's been able to piece this thing together now and dispatch the Sixers, who, that was the thing. The Sixers were the team. They were the juggernaut. They were going to be, they were going to win the East after they took the Heat down in the opening round. And Boston went in there and just mauled them.
They did. There's no question about that. So in the series between Cleveland and Boston, I think we're both going to go with Cleveland here. I've learned my lesson, but yeah, I think it could be tighter than people would think, just even with Boston not having those two stars.
Yeah, I mean, until I see LeBron not in the NBA Finals, I mean, I don't see how you can go against that.
I mean, he has stepped it up to a whole new level, it even seems like, this playoffs. He's taken that onus on himself that, look, I don't have a lot of help, so I'm going to have to do this by myself.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not fair to say by himself, because Kevin Love's been really, really good as well in these playoffs. But it's basically him and Kevin Love, and then maybe somebody else will step up on a given night. But those two guys are really carrying that team right now. And I'm about to I've come to a realization, and I'm about to, I guess, admit something that it feels like I'm taking a knife and driving it into my heart when I admit this. And this, I'm about to, LeBron James is the best player on the planet. That's not what I'm upset about having to say. What I'm upset about having to say is, I used to say that you can't say that LeBron is better than Jordan, but now I'm on the side of the fence now, especially after watching him in these playoffs, you can't say Jordan's better than LeBron either.
No, there's just this, like
they're on like a level plateau, and I think it's subjective to where, like, when you look at certain stats, look, Jordan was a lot better at some things, LeBron's a lot better at some things, but overall as players, I think you have to put them on the same level, and I don't think you can put really one over the other.
No, I mean, the one thing, like, people say, well, I mean, Jordan was a much better jump shooter, and that's probably true, but, like, so is Steph Curry than LeBron. LeBron's not even the best jump shooter
right now,
but the point is LeBron has that in his game.
LeBron's a better passer than Jordan.
He's also got this brute force to his game where he could just take anyone off the dribble, and he's impossible to stop when he's going to the rack. He can do that at will. Jeff and I, you know, it wasn't an argument, because I think these arguments are silly because they can't be proved, but you know, I said it the other day, to me, I mean, I think LeBron is the best there's been, and I was a guy that thought Jordan was. But you know, what got me to thinking about it was when I was a kid and believed Michael Jordan was the best basketball player ever, because immediately the go-to defense is LeBron's only got three titles and Jordan has six. And
right.
Then Magic has five. And Kobe even has more than LeBron has. So how can you say LeBron's the best ever? But when I was a kid and thought Michael Jordan was the best basketball player of all time was way before he had six NBA titles. In fact, for me, it might have even been before he even had won his first. That I was
right,
like,
because it took him a while to get over that hump. I mean, in the late 80s, you know, he was losing to the Pistons. He had a lot of trouble with that team. But then once he finally got over that hump, I mean, there was no way to stop him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I almost feel like it was even in that game where he scored the 63 points in the playoffs against Boston, and he had that crossover on Bird, and Bird's, you know, was like a pretzel all tied
right up,
and he hit that jump shot. I mean, that might have been the moment I'm like, this is the most amazing basketball player that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before he had won a title. So it's just interesting to me that is like the go-to in the argument for Jordan and against LeBron, but Jordan was viewed as the best basketball player ever before he even had those six titles.
And going forward, I just say I will never put one over the other. I don't think I'm ever going to put LeBron over Jordan, but I can't at this point anymore put Jordan over LeBron.
Yeah, I mean,
they're equal. They do different things. They did. I guess Jordan did different things than the way LeBron does things. They both had their strengths. They both had their weaknesses. I would say LeBron's more athletic, but I think Jordan was a little more tenacious on defense. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's so many different little things you can pick out here and there, but the bottom line is they're both great, and LeBron may still win a few more titles. I guess it depends on, you know, where he goes and who all goes with him and where he's playing next season and beyond, but I just really think that when you're looking at those two guys, it's you know, option A and option B. There's no, and when I say option A, option B, that's not even like trying to say one's more better than the other. It's just at this point, who's the greatest player of all time? LeBron Jordan. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing in the case for me with LeBron too, is like, how many other future Hall of Famers has he been a teammate with? One, Dwayne Wade. That's it, right? Future Hall of Famer. That's the only one LeBron's ever played with.
You don't think that? I mean, Kyrie maybe down the line. I mean, that's a little bit too early to tell.
He's got a long way to go.
He's got a long way to go.
Right here,
Kevin Love.
I mean, he's.
I think Kevin Love's borderline.
I mean, he's yeah.
Because
he's got
all those stats he put up in Minnesota before he came to Cleveland. I mean, I think he's borderline.
Yeah, but I mean, Magic.
But
played,
surefire.
Magic
Wade.
Played with two or three of them, and you know,
I mean, Jordan only
had
played with one.
He had Rodman too. He had Pippen and Rodman.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. And Rodman's a Hall of Famer, but not like when you think about it, like not in the same way that maybe. Some of the other guys are.
I mean, you wouldn't.
I would say Rodman's a Hall of Famer. Like Kevin Love's.
You wouldn't put him in the all-time, you know, great. I think, but you know, Rodman to me is like the best rebounder.
Oh, for sure.
And the guy had rebounding. It was like a science. And I know it's, you know, it's hard to sometimes to think of, because Rodman turned into like this, you know, the guy, the eccentric that he became. But mm-hmm. even when he was that guy, it was like a science where he could tell the angle the ball was being shot at and figure out exactly where it was going to come off.
Oh,
the
yeah,
rim.
No, he was the savant.
Yeah.
What do they call it, an idiot savant, if you will?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when it came to rebounding the basketball,
yeah.
that's what he
but
did.
But then, you know, this was the same guy while he was that. I mean, he was, you know, dressing up in
wearing a wedding dress.
Wedding gown in yeah. Times Square and whatnot.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely an interesting character, but I guess devil's advocate role I will play against LeBron is the level of difficulty in the Eastern Conference for him versus what Jordan had to go through. That's the only difference. I mean, Jordan was facing much better teams than what LeBron has gone.
Yeah, I mean, the East has been really a much clearer path. But also, I think LeBron, the defenses in the NBA are way better now than when Jordan played.
The defense was more physical when Jordan played, but I think overall the teams have adjusted to the new style and the overall level.
Well, you're allowed to zone now where it was just purely man-to-man back in the day. But
and the elimination of hand-checking has allowed players a lot more freedom to get to the basket.
If you go and look at, like, the... Yeah, I mean, some of these clips where Jordan was going and dunking, I mean, there were no defenders in his path even attempting to get in his way and stop him.
Right, and because I think, you know, the tendency back then was to try to, if they're going to get those buckets, let them get those, and then you get down the court and score.
Then you would just clothesline somebody.
Or that, yeah, if you're Bill Laimbeer. But, yeah, I just think overall that when you're LeBron, I mean, you really haven't had as much competition. And I mean, what's your competition been? The Hawks? Who were very overrated in that one season. They were the number one seed. By the way, the Hawks have faced LeBron James in the playoffs three times.
They haven't won a game,
They've
right?
been swept all three times.
Yeah, yeah.
Brutal. And so I saw an article that was like, who has LeBron done the most destruction against? It was a ranking list in the playoffs, and the Hawks were number one.
Yeah, well,
because they have never won a game against
them. They're 0-12, right?
Just brutal.
Yeah.
Just horrible. So LeBron has definitely been a Hawks killer. But you look at who Jordan was going up against back then. I mean, you had great, like a great Knicks team, great Heat teams. You had Orlando with Shaq and Penny. I mean, there was a lot better talent in the East back then. So I definitely think that that's something to think about. But still, I have gotten to the point now where I'm ready to admit you can't put one over the other in the LeBron and Michael Jordan argument. Just appreciate both of them for being the greatest two players that have ever played the game.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things you can argue back and forth and, like, you really can't prove it. But
You're just going in circles.
Yeah, but I've just gotten to where, like, the heaviest ammunition used against LeBron is the whole rings thing. And
right.
So my attack to that now is like, well...
You thought Jordan was great, but it's like Barry Bonds was great before steroids.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Jordan was great before the rings.
To me, I mean, yeah. I mean, I was calling Jordan the best player of all time before he even had all six of those rings, which are now being used against LeBron.
So are you with me on that? Like, LeBron and Jordan are the two best players that have ever played, and it's pretty hard to differentiate the two?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that. I mean, I do. I lean toward LeBron now, but, I mean, it's one of those things
I mean,
I'm
I may still slightly lean towards Jordan just because of my love of nostalgia and thinking back on all those great moments. I mean, shoot, Michael Jordan made me do something I've never done and will never do again, wear an opposing team's jersey to an Atlanta sports event. I mean, that's the level of fandom people had for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was...
And I was crazy about the Hawks back then.
I mean, Neek was my guy, but I liked Jordan, too.
Steve Smith was my hero and I wore the jersey of the guy Steve Smith was tasked with guarding at the Georgia Dome. I mean, it just blows my mind thinking back on that, but that's how good Jordan was. Before we transition to Georgia baseball here real quickly, because we ran a little long there, we didn't get to the West. Houston, Golden State, finally the matchup that we've wanted to see.
Absolutely, and hopefully it's a good six or a seven game series.
I still think Golden State are going to win.
Oh yeah, they're going to win.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Look, Chris Paul's had a great playoffs. James Harden's had a great playoffs. But I mean, you just look at how many different ways the Warriors can beat you. And Steph Curry has come back, and he hasn't looked like he's missed a beat. He missed a good bit of time, and he came back and dropped like 28 points in his first game back. So you've got the way he's playing. I mean, just look, you got Curry, Durant, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green. You have all of these different guys that not only can shoot from outside, but you have a lot of them that can attack the basket, like Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala. Those are guys that can attack the basket. So I just and even you add a Swaggy P to the mix, and he's a decent player as well. So I think that it's going to be way too hard for Houston to overcome that. They're a very good basketball team, but they haven't been here yet, and Golden State has.
Yeah, and I can't, you know, and Harden hasn't done it yet, you know, completely in the playoffs, and I still can't get out last year with the game they got eliminated by the Spurs, how awful he was. And I know last year it was more of just him. Now they've added Chris Paul, but he's shown more of an ability to just completely fade away in a big moment, a playoff game, than you've seen, you know, obviously out of these Golden State teams that have now won, you know, two NBA titles and have been to three straight finals.
Exactly. So I'm going, once again, we're going to get Golden State and Cleveland in the NBA finals.
It's, I mean, just which is what everyone thought, you know, in October when the NBA season started. Or, I mean, what everyone thought last year at the end of the finals when Golden State beat Cleveland is like, okay, well, these two teams are going to play again next year, too.
Funny how that worked.
And Golden State's going to beat Cleveland probably in like four or five games again.
Yeah,
like
I just don't think that. I know I keep doubting like Cleveland and LeBron and what they can do. I thought Toronto was going to beat them, but it just feels like that they're going to run out of gas.
Yeah, Golden State has way too much when it comes to that matchup.
All right, before we get out of here on this edition of the Crossover, we got to give some love to Georgia baseball. They just completed their second straight sweep of Georgia Tech. So they've beaten them all three games 2 years in a row now, and they've won 9 out of 10 against their cross-state rival. So that's obviously a huge thing to tip your cap at for Georgia baseball. But earlier today, we're recording on Thursday, we talked to Coach Strickland on the morning show, and he's like, look, we can't think about that. We've still got huge series coming up. They have two SEC series left, one against Florida starting, as you'll listen to this, technically starting today for Friday. And they also host Arkansas to wrap up their SEC slate. So it's going to be tough because those are two very, very good baseball teams. But as you mentioned earlier in the podcast here, Georgia baseball could be hosting a regional for the first time in a decade.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, look, I mean, you definitely want more out of them, but I think at the minimum, if Georgia went 2-4 in these last six games in conference play, I think the Dogs are hosting a regional now. I think if Georgia wins at least one of them, I think Georgia's going to be one of those national seeds, too, one of those top eight national seeds, and be in position to win a regional and then host the super regional, too, to get back to Omaha. So there's a lot at stake. And look, at the beginning of the year, and I'll even admit, I mean, as Georgia was having a good year, maybe the middle of April, the beginning of April, I kept looking at these last two series and saying, well, all right, good season now, but you could close with Florida and Arkansas. But
Arkansas is horrible on the road.
Yeah, I mean, they got swept by Mississippi State out there, but I think Georgia's got a chance to win some games now over the next couple of weeks and win one of these series, and you know, they won't be lacking for confidence going into Gainesville this weekend. Florida did sweep them here a year ago, but Florida won the national championship, and all three of those games were pretty tight. Georgia's at least going to go down there with a belief that they can win. Now, the Gators haven't lost a series all year, and they haven't lost more than two games in a row at any point this season. So, you know, to think that Georgia can go then win that series is a tall order, but, you know, I mean, I don't think it's completely, like, unbelievable, though.
No, and just the way that this team has played, I mean, they really are, that they have some standout players, but it really is a sum of the parts. I mean, every player, it's like a well-oiled machine at this point, the way that this team picks each other up. and the way that you get pretty much from win to win, it's a different reason that you won the game.
Like, how many all-SEC players do you think they've got? I mean, possibly.
I think Shunk's out there. I think McGovern's out there.
And that, maybe Curry?
Maybe. He hasn't been, I don't think, as good as we would have hoped, but the other players have picked it up
but
around
At most three, probably. I mean, I think at least one.
C.J. Smith, man. I mean, the way he's pitched, I mean, yeah. He's definitely been very good.
But Shunk's
in that kind
got
of midweek role.
The saves and the... He's
he
got
does.
The pitching
no,
and the offense.
I mean, Shunk's a triple threat, man. Guy yeah. can field, guy can pitch, guy can hit. I mean, it's unbelievable watching him go at it. So I think Georgia definitely is going to have some players in contention for all-conference honors. And hopefully that lends to more success going forward, because I think this team, getting them into the right into the right frame of mind heading into the postseason, can definitely do some damage.
Yeah, and I think they're in that right frame of mind, too. I was listening to Zach Kristofak in the post game the other night after the Dogs knocked off Tech, and he sounded confident. And Jeff pointed out to him his hit list of wins and saves in his career and the big rivals that he's been able to beat. But the one he hasn't gotten is Florida. And Zach sounded like determined to change that this weekend and add the Gators to, you know, as another notch on his belt.
Add him to the hit list.
Yeah.
No question about it. All right. He's Chris Bram. I'm Sam Franco. Thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Crossover Podcast right here on 960theref.com. Once again, please don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Makes it easier for you because you don't have to come find us. We find you. Also, rate and review. A little 5-star review action helps us out, helps us get a little more promotion from iTunes. So we would greatly appreciate it if you guys could help us out with that. Once again, for Chris Graham, I'm Sam Franco. Thank you so much for listening. Back next week with another edition of The Crossover right here on 960theref.com.
You've been listening to The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brame on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.